Any technical caveats to surgery and rectal cancer you might want to comment on? Maybe, I'm not going to say mistakes, but things that you hear about or see about other surgeons doing that maybe you do differently?
Well, the sphincter preservation is the biggest part of the equation, I think. And, you know, it used to be said if you could feel a rectal cancer, you needed an abdominal panel resection. I mean, clearly that's not true. And while you say some people are getting sphincter extirpation in whom maybe sphincters could have been saved, the converse is also true. And I think there's a drive at some of the tertiary centers to save every sphincter. And we're now seeing margins of almost zero, which I also think is the wrong way to go. There have to be occasions when you say to the patient, you've had pre-op chemo RT, there's just an ulcer. There may be no cancer left, but we're going to take your sphincters anyway because when I met you, this tumor was at your dentate line. And we don't know enough about the long-term curative effect of your neoadjuvant. Yes, Angelita Habergama has a wonderful series in Brazil, but nobody's repeated it in the U.S. And there's going to be an occasional patient that says, no, you're not operating on me. And, you know, we just have to see how those people do. But then, as we know from our own data, even in the 30% of patients in whom we have a complete response, about 14% of those patients have tumor deposits throughout the mesorectum. So I don't think we should go to the other extreme either, where every sphincter can be spared because it's a little smaller with RT or because we can get a 5-millimeter margin and do a hand sewn to the dentate line. The technical caveat works both ways too. Certain things I think are very helpful. If it's an open operation using a St. Mark's retractor, a lip retractor that can really lift up the mesorectum is very helpful. Using electrocautery dissection to keep a very dry field. Doing a high ligation. Once you've done a ligation about a centimeter off the aorta to identify the sympathetic nerves and follow them down so you don't injure them. Very important as well. In a low dissection in a woman, having an assistant put two fingers in the vagina and lifting it up to open that rectovaginal septum and let you dissect down. And being very careful with stapler placement too, particularly in women, you can easily go too low. In a thin woman, you can easily put that stapler that goes on the distal rectum across the hemorrhoids. And you don't want to do that because then when you staple the anastomosis, you're going to excise the hemorrhoids. If your transection has to be that low, I think you should go down below and efface the anus and do a mucosectomy and a hand-sewn anastomosis because otherwise you're going to excise the internal sphincters. And in the commitment to spare sphincters, people end up taking them out in the stapler. They say, wow, look how low I was able to go. Well, that's great, but the patient now is going to have zero continence. So being able to technically go below and say, I need to do mucosectomy because I have a margin, but I don't have any sphincters left if I staple this. That's another caveat. If you're doing the procedure laparoscopically, I think keeping the uterus out of the way is fundamental. Either with a stitch or tape or retractor is very important to do as well. And in laparoscopic cases, perineal pressure can be very helpful, where somebody pushes the anus up, one of the assistants pushes the anus up into the field, which will help lift everything up where you're working laparoscopically and reduce the angle a little bit. If you can't put a stapler low enough laparoscopically, you can, again, go below and incise the dentate line and finish from below, which is why it's important to have mobilized the entire splenic flexure right to the mid-transverse colon first before you make that incision. Or you can do a little mini suprapubic phalangeal to put a standard TA stapler very distally also. It's another trick to be able to get very low and get a good margin on tumors. Always open the specimen in the OR. Opposite the tumor, obviously, unless it's circumferential tumor, but always open it and look to make sure you're happy with your margin because the time to go back or change gears is then. It's not when the pathologist tells you there was no margin. Go back. Now, there may be cases, again, young person where you've got a good margin on the cancer, but the polypoid element of it, the villous adenoma, for example, in which the cancer started, may be right down to the dentate line. That can be a tough one because you say, I know I have a margin on the cancer. I don't really have a margin on the polyp, but am I prepared to subject this young woman to a permanent colostomy because I don't have a 2-centimeter margin on the polyp? That's another circumstance where it's judgment, and I think the trick there is to be honest with the patient post-op and tell them, your cancer is fine, but you are at high risk to get a villous adenoma coming back, and we need to keep a tight watch on you afterwards. Liberal use of diversion is another thing that I think is important. In a frenzy to avoid stomas, you can end up with a disastrously high leak rate. And that's problematic because then that patient's not going to be getting their post-op chemo in a timely manner. They're going to be significantly delayed. they're going to be immune compromised from a leak, and ultimately their function won't be as good because they'll have potentially more pelvic fibrosis, versus saying to everyone, you're undergoing pre-op chemo RT, we're going to do for 3 months a loop ileostomy. But it's a fixed period of time. We close it, you can go back and get your Zoloda or whatever it happens to be at that point.